Good morning and welcome to Meriden Hills Baptist Church and our Palm Sunday service. I love Palm Sunday. You know, Easter is a great day. That is the day we celebrate the ascension of our Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, this Friday is from home celebrating the death of Christ. They say, Pastor Russ, why would you celebrate the death of Christ? Because of what it accomplished for me. That was the whole purpose Christ came to this earth, was to die. I'll celebrate that. He conquered sin on my behalf on that cross. But boy, what a great thing next Sunday to celebrate his ascension and his conquering of death through the ascension. But today, we get to celebrate our King. Today, Jesus Christ is the conquering King entering into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. Now, because of the uniqueness of this service, we have a lot of things going on that are going to be quite different than what you normally experience here at a service. We have some visitors, Teen Challenge from New Haven. They're going to be singing some songs, have a presentation briefly in the middle of today's service. And every time they come, we always take up a love offering. We're going to do that again today. But here at Meriden Hills, we actually don't take up an offering. So to take up the love offering is just over the next week. If you'd like to give to Teen Challenge above and beyond the $500 that our church is just going to write to them from the get-go, if you'd like to give above that, you can do so by dropping off a check in the back boxes against the wall or by doing it online and just tagging Teen Challenge. We'll have a drop box, Sam, for Teen Challenge that you can, when you go there, you can drop that and we'll notice that it's towards Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is going to tell you a little bit about themselves later in the service, but just briefly, they are an addiction recovery program. And they're unique from many addiction recovery programs because they have an on-site program where men can stay there for as long as they need and recover, distancing themselves from the addictions and from the problems of life and kind of have an oasis where Christ is taught and they are loved and hopefully recover from those addictions. But today, again, we are here to worship our King. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the opportunity to worship. I thank you for the celebration that we have today, Palm Sunday, as you enter Jerusalem, as the people, the men, the women, the children sang your praises. We want to sing your praises today. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's service will have a lot of songs, and because of that, we're going to intersperse the message with the songs. So rather just singing it one time and then preaching at the end, I'll be preaching between the songs. So by the time we come to our last song, we'll be done and there'll be no more preaching. We're going to marry the preaching and marry the singing. And I say that because some of you guys, if we were singing until like 12:15, you're like, is he going to preach after this? No, I'll be done by 12:15, all right? We're going to marry the singing and marry the preaching together today as we worship our King, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
No other king could vanquish the war horse or silence the warrior's rage while riding the lowly back of a donkey. No other king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that king, the king of glory, son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for. The one to deliver us from captivity, the son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the Creator come to earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as a suffering servant, the one substitute for our sins. More loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other king like him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other king like him. There is no other king.
Amen. This is our King. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 13 and verse 15. On the next day, much people that were come to feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Fear not, daughter of Sion. Behold, thy King cometh. He is our King. Is he your King? What does a King deserve? A King deserves to be worshipped. Do you worship this King? Who is the King of your life? The Bible tells us that you can only serve one master. There cannot be more than one master. The two masters are jealous of each other. There is the master of God and there is the master of everything else. Everything else wants your life. God wants your life. You cannot give it to both. Who is your King? Who do you worship? Do you worship the God of this world? Do you worship the God of money? Do you worship the God of pleasure? Do you worship the God of relationships? Do you worship the God of power? Or do you worship the God of gods, the King of kings? No other king like our King. There is only one King. Worship is when you lift up and praise. What is lifted up in your life? When I look at your life, what do I see first? That is who is lifted up. That is what is lifted up. If I see you, you are your King. If I see your children first, your children are the King of your life. If I see your job, your position, your money, that is your King. If I see indulgent in pleasures of this life, that is your King. There's only one King that deserves to be worshipped, and it is the King of kings. Our Savior, the Messiah, who on Palm Sunday entered into Jerusalem on the lowly back of a donkey, a colt of a donkey, a young donkey. And this King entered knowing that he was going to conquer, not in the way that Jerusalem wanted, not in the way that the apostles thought, but in the way we needed. This King did what was best for you and for me. A King deserves to be worshipped. Do you worship him? A King deserves to be honored. Do you honor this King? I told many people that obedience is an action and honor is an attitude. We honor our King not through what we do, but why we do it. If you obey this King purely out of obligation, you do not honor this King. If you obey this King out of fear, you do not honor this King. This King deserves to be honored with love, with desire on our parts, following him because we choose to. This King is not the kidnapper. This King is the freedom giver. This King did not kidnap you to force you to follow him. This King freed you to give you the choice to follow him. No one is forcing you to honor this King. But this King with outstretched hands, holes in his palms, this King with a wound in his side, this King says, will you choose to honor me? Not through what you do, but why you do it. What are your motives for being here today? What are your motives for the choices you make at home, the way you treat your spouse, the way you treat your kids? To honor God. First and always, this King deserves to be served. Will you serve this King? A good King does not need to cause people to be in bondage to serve him. A good King will literally have to push people away because there's too many servants. This palace can only have so many servants. I'm sorry. Check back next year. We'll see if there's a position for you then. Our army has only so many spots for a soldier. We don't have enough weapons. Come back next year and we'll see if there's a position of service then. This king deserves to be served. There are positions of service. Will you accept one? Will you ask for one? Will you take it and not take it in name only, but will you be a servant of God in the way you live your life, in the way you make your choices, in the way you love people? Because a servant of a king doesn't decide in what manner they will serve. The servant of the king says, you have a position open. Give me the job description. I will be that servant. Don't tell God how you want to serve. Tell God you are willing to serve. And ask God to show you how to serve. And then you serve. This is our king. At this time, before we begin to worship this king, I'd like a time of prayer. One of the greatest truths you could take away from the king is his humility. This is a humble king. And the greatest of servants will follow in their king's humility. As we've done often here at Meriden Hills, we pray. And I ask those who are willing and able to pray on their knees, not for a photo opportunity, not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, we prayed on our knees. There is something that takes place up here when a man and a woman goes to their knees. And hopefully, as you pray, what takes place up here, the conscious effort of I'm going to humble myself before this king. And as I pray before this king, pray that what takes place up here, the humbling of yourself, will then in turn affect here, the humbling of your heart. I know there are some that cannot kneel, and I ask that you kneel in your hearts if age or illness does not allow it. But for the rest, I ask, will you kneel before this king as we pray in a call to humility? Let's pray. Dear Father, you are a great God to have sent your Son, the King, to this earth. Not a king who came to conquer us, but to conquer for us. Not a king to kidnap us and to enslave us, but a king to free us. Not a king to pridefully prove to us how awesome he is, but to humbly serve us because he truly is an awesome God, an awesome king. We serve this king. We love this king. We honor this king. We worship this king. As we kneel before you, literally, as we kneel before you spiritually, I pray that this, your people, your servants, that our love, our worship, our honor, our service would be done in humility. We do not deserve such a king, but we are grateful for our king. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, let's stand this morning and sing how deep the Father's love for us. The man upon the cross.
my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers.
Listen to this.
It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in no wisdom.
Listen to this.
But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection.
Think about it.
Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my rent.
Why should I gain from his reward? Sing it again.
Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with have paid my ransom.
You may be seated.
Walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on a cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary. Wounded and bleeding, sent for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, my Savior prayed, even while his lifeblood flowed fast away. Praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sin. For me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my song shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners, pleading, blinded and heeding, dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners, pleading, blinded and heeding, dying for me.
Luke chapter 19 verses 36 through 38, and as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is our Savior. He is not only our King, he is our Savior. Jesus Christ came to the world to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to heal not those who are already healthy, but to heal the sick. He came to heal not to help those who found their way, but to help those who are lost. Christ is here to heal you. But the greatest healing you can experience is not physical, is not emotional, what happens up here, or even what happens in here. It is the spiritual. That is the greatest healing, and that is what Jesus Christ came to do, to heal you from your spiritual wound of sin, to heal you from that death sentence that sin alone causes. There is nothing that takes you to hell save sin, and there is no one that takes you to heaven save Christ. This is our Savior. Salvation is found in Christ alone. If you think that your salvation is because you didn't sin today, then what happens tomorrow? If you think that your salvation is because your sins were less this week than they were good things this week, then what happens next week? If you think that your salvation is because you attend a church, what happens when the church folds or you go to another church? If you think your salvation is because of what you wear, how you look, how you talk, then what about everyone else that looks differently, acts differently, talks differently than you? Your salvation has nothing to do with you and everything to do with Christ. It is in Christ alone that we are saved. Do you know this Christ? Do you trust this Christ? You cannot trust a God you do not know. The great thing about salvation is this: God doesn't make it very difficult. God purposely made it easy. You don't need to know Christ as a best friend. You just need to know him as the only Savior. And then once you get to accept this Savior as your personal Savior, once you embrace this Savior, and once you trust in the Savior for your sin, he becomes your best friend. But God does not require a friendship with Christ to be saved. He requires a repentance before this Savior to be saved. Faith in this Savior to be saved. Christ alone is our salvation. Salvation is offered to all mankind. God didn't just give it to me. God didn't just give it to you. God is not a racist. God is not a sexist. God is not an elitist. God could care less about your power. Your power compared to his is nothing. God could care less about your money. You are poor compared to him. God could care less about your skin color. He made you the way that you are. God could care less about your gender. He loves both genders. God loves you. All can be saved. Salvation is offered to all of mankind, to every individual. Jesus Christ had not just come to save those who were ordained to salvation. Jesus Christ came, John 3:16, to save the world. And any who accept Christ are now, upon the moment of their salvation, ordained or destined, predestined to eternity in heaven with Christ. Your ordaining as a believer takes place at the moment of salvation. Your predestination to eternal glory in heaven takes place at the moment of salvation. Your guarantee of eternal glory takes place at the moment of salvation, not before. You are not guaranteed hell or guaranteed heaven because God chose some one way or the other. God chooses all to heaven. God offers heaven to all. Will you accept his gracious offer? Because salvation is in Christ alone, and salvation is offered to all mankind, and salvation is accepted through faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What do you boast of when it comes to your salvation? I boast of Christ. What do you boast of when it comes to the work that saved you? I boast of the cross. What do you boast of when it comes to keeping you saved? I boast of the Holy Spirit. My boast is of my God who saved me, not myself. Do not try to impress me with your works. I'm not impressed. Do not try to impress God with your personality, your good works, your character. He's not impressed. You are saved because of the grace of God, not your hard work. It is in Christ alone. It is all to all mankind, and it is purely through faith that you are saved. What is faith? Faith is trusting in Christ for who he claimed to be. Faith is trusting in the work of Christ for what he claimed to do. Faith is trusting that God the Father will accept God the Son's work on the cross to pay for your sin that you may go to heaven. That is faith. And when you have that faith in Christ alone, you have salvation through Christ alone. Our next prayer is called a gratitude. When I see Palm Sunday, and when I see Jesus Christ riding into Jerusalem, the Jews are overwhelmed with gratitude. Here is the Messiah, the promised one. Here is the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of prophecy. Here is the chain breaker of our sin. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the Jews also thought he was there to rescue them from the Romans, and they were mistaken. He was not there to conquer a physical enemy. He was there to conquer a spiritual enemy. But nonetheless, gratitude. So much gratitude. The Jews are literally tearing off their coats and throwing them on the ground that the feet of the colt of Jesus need not touch the dirt. The palms, as they shouted Hosanna, thrown on the ground, that the feet of Jesus, the colt, and the followers would not touch the dirt. There was abundant gratitude that day. Is there gratitude today? Are you grateful for who Christ is, what he's done and continues to do in your life? There is so much to look upon with heartache, so much to see that causes distress. Keep your eyes on Christ, and you will only and always be grateful. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I am grateful for my salvation. I am grateful for my Savior. I am grateful for not just the fact that I was saved, but the promise of my sanctification, the promise that I will not lose my salvation, the promise that heaven is my destiny, guaranteed final home. I am grateful that no matter what happens in this life, I know what happens in the next. I am grateful that no matter who rejects me, I know the Savior has accepted me. I am grateful. I pray that your people today, as we worship you, would be grateful and that we would take this attitude of gratefulness into the week and into the rest of this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, there's nothing better than Christ. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I can attest to that. My name is Josh. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm 32 years old, originally from North Carolina, and thanks to God's grace and mercy, I've been raised from death to life.
Amen.
I've got 13 months of sobriety as of today.
Amen.
Amen. Before we get started, I just want to introduce our campus directors, Pastors Wayne, he's right there, and Pastor Yvette Gallagher. They've taken over our campus in January of this year and have been a tremendous blessing. And I hope that everyone, when you came in, you got a prayer card. If you didn't get one, please see me after the service. I'll give you one. We'd like you to fill that out and hand that back to us. We are a praying ministry, and we pray twice a day, in the morning and at night. We pray before our meals. We pray before we leave to go anywhere. We pray for everything, actually. So we'd love to have an opportunity to pray for you. And if you also, before you leave, stop by our tables. Not only does Teen Challenge help us get sober, but they also teach us skills. We have two centers in Massachusetts and New Jersey that makes cutting boards that we have back there for sale. We have Vermont maple syrup for sale. We have tea. We have coffee. Our Peruvian Teen Challenge makes our coffee. Teen Challenge is one of the oldest and most effective drug and alcohol rehabilitation programs out there. We were founded in the early 60s, and we're now over in 125 countries with 1,400 locations worldwide. So it's doing a tremendous work across the nation. Time magazine actually gives us, I think it's a 76% success rate from drugs and alcohol for those who recover, and whereas a secular rehab is around the 10% mark or less. So and the only reason that we're such a higher success rate is because of Christ. We have Christ in our program, and he's raising all these men from death to life. So I want one of our staff members, Steve Stokes, to give a testimony what God's done for him.
Thank you, church. So, you know, just in this service, I found a great purpose for this mass is to dry my tears when I cry thinking about what God's done in my life. So I came through Teen Challenge in 2011 as a 23-year-old kid who who's just so broken. I had my 12th overdose before 23 years old. And my last overdose, they found me lying down face first in the gutter in the north end of Boston, Massachusetts. And they, I was on life support that time. And a few weeks later, I found myself miraculously in Teen Challenge. And I began to hear the gospel for the first time in my entire life. And I began to hear about Christ and what he had done for me on the cross. And it was like I was being pulled in two different directions. It was like my flesh was just pulling me so strong. But at the same time, God began to convict me. So about a month in, I was not completely surrendered to Christ. And I had a plan in my mind to leave Teen Challenge. And I wanted to go get high. And I had this big, immaculate plan in my mind. And as I was packing my bags, I walked past a mirror. And my life flashed before my eyes. And I remember being a young kid just suffering with depression and just wanting to know who God was. And then for the first time in my life, I looked in the mirror and I actually seen myself that night, August 5th, 2011. And there was nothing I could do but go down to the local church that we went to. And I got before the Lord on my knees and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ that night, August 5th, 2011. And my life's never been the same since. I'm getting ready to celebrate almost 10 years delivered from myself, not just drug addiction, but delivered from myself and what I was. And I got hired on Teen Challenge 2014, and I've been hired on with Teen Challenge ever since. And God's been good to keep me every single day. And the verse that I stand on, actually the first verse that I learned, Romans 2:4, or do you show contempt for the riches of his goodness, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? Amen.
Amen, church. That's just one story of what Christ has done for these men. Each one of these men has a similar story to Steve. They came to Teen Challenge in one way or the other, and they've been healed and recovered from drugs and alcohol. If you'd like to participate or support Teen Challenge in a way that would be very beneficial to us, we have a sponsorship program. It's less than $1 a day, and it helps men come into the program. We don't accept insurance. We don't accept any government funding. But we don't turn anyone away that comes to Teen Challenge. So we do have fees that we'd like ask that students pay, but if they cannot afford it, they can still come into the program. And I don't know if any of you've been to rehabs, but they're very expensive. The cheapest one I've been to is about $200-$300 a day, and the most expensive one I've been is about $1,200 a day. So less than $1 a day can get someone off the streets, change their lives, get them off of drugs and alcohol, and more importantly, introduce them to Christ and change their life. So we're going to go ahead and sing a second song for you.
With the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Luke chapter 19, verses 39 through 40. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You think that God needs you? God doesn't need you. Think that God needs me? God doesn't need me. God could have a rock up here that would do better than I could preaching to you. Because it is not me that brings the power. It is the truth that brings the power. I'm just the voice. Grateful to be it, but God doesn't need it. God doesn't need your voice. God wants your voice. God doesn't need your hands. God wants your hands. God doesn't need your feet. God wants your feet. So how about it, Christian? Are you going to be someone who serves God, or are you going to make God use the rocks? Are you going to let the children cry out alone, or are you going to join the children as they cry out their praises to the Lord? This is our warrior. Our king is not a king who sits on a comfortable throne, never leaves the palace, eating dainty food and listening to music all day. Our king's a fighter. Our king doesn't fight to grow his own personal kingdom. Our king fights for you. You are his kingdom. Our king doesn't fight to grow his wealth. Our king owns a thousand on a thousand hills. Our king doesn't need more wealth. Our king fights for your spiritual wealth. Our king is the warrior king. Christ died to conquer sin's hold on us. A lot of people want to be the warrior, but almost every warrior wants to be the winner. And they don't understand that sometimes winning has a heavy price to pay. Not many warriors are willing to pay the cost to win the war. God, Jesus Christ, our warrior, knew the full cost required to win the war, and he paid that cost. It was death. Why did Jesus Christ, our warrior king, have to die? Because God deemed it so in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. The payment for sin of death, the consequence for sin is death. But the gift of God is Jesus Christ, is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ offers eternal life. Jesus Christ gives that to you freely, but he only offers it and only gives it because he already died paying for your sin. That is the price for sin, death. Someone's got to die for your sin. If you die for your sin, you go to hell. If you let Jesus die for your sin, you go to heaven. Which will it be? Our king is a warrior. Took on himself the cross, paid that price of death so that we could spend eternity with him. On the cross, what did Jesus do? He conquered sin. And then we find that our warrior king didn't stay dead, though. Our warrior king resurrected. Our warrior king didn't stay in the tomb. No one grabbed him out of the tomb and dragged him from the tomb. No one gave him CPR and brought him back to life. Jesus Christ brought himself to life. Because our warrior king didn't just conquer sin on the cross. Our warrior king conquered death in the grave. Our warrior king went to death, grabbed the king, the keys of death, and brought him back and said, there, I've conquered sin so you don't have to go to hell, and I've conquered death so you can live again with me. Jesus Christ, the first resurrected among many brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ paved the way, the trailblazer for you and for I. But this was not a trail through a walk in a park. This was not a trail up through a mountain. This was a trail literally to death and back. And he said, I blaze that trail so you don't have to. I blaze that trail so that when you die, someone can take you to heaven. The trail leads to heaven when you conquer death. That is the end of that path. Our warrior king conquered death for you. And our warrior king, he decided that the best place for him was in heaven. And he ascended to heaven. But our warrior king left another warrior behind. And that warrior is not you, and that warrior surely is not me. That warrior is God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son said, I must ascend to God the Father so that we can send God the Spirit to fight with you to conquer the hold that this world has on you. What more is there to conquer? He conquered sin. He conquered death. and he is currently conquering this world's hold on you, on your heart, on your mind, through the power of the Holy Spirit. This world cannot hold what the Holy Spirit owns. Are you submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit? Because if you are, the world is not your master. The world does not own you. You don't belong to the world. You belong to this warrior king. You belong to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit belongs to you. He indwelt you, believer. He came to this earth to serve you, to teach you, to guide you away from the world and toward Christ. We serve a warrior. And the best way to serve a warrior is to stand strong and to fight with our warrior. When you fall, recognize that's part of humanity. But remember, we are not alone. God the Holy Spirit is with us. Get back up, stand strong, and fight with our God. We'll now have another prayer, and this one is a call to worship. A call to worship our warrior. In the Old Testament, as King David, well, before he was king, just a young boy, came back with the head of Goliath in his hand. What a gory picture that must have been. The women took their timbrels and they danced in the streets and praised David for his warrior-like ability. They praised David for rescuing them from this tyrant Goliath. We find other kings as they enter into Jerusalem in other wars. The people of Israel sing the praises of this warrior. You have conquered on our behalf. We are grateful and we praise you for what you've done. Let's stand now as we praise God in prayer for what he's done. Stand with me as we pray and then go into some more songs, and we'll continue to stand praising our God. Let us have a call to worship. Dear Lord, you are the conquering king. You are the warrior king. And what you did wasn't for you. What you did was for me. What you did was for us. Palm Sunday is a reminder of your status, a reminder of your authority, a reminder of your plan. You planned to come to this earth not to conquer the Romans, not to conquer the Jews, but to conquer sin and death. And then you ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit that we might continually conquer the world's hold in our hearts. We love you, we worship you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stay standing,
church. We're going to sing Because He Lives. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is Romans 5:8. It says, "But God commendeth," or demonstrated, "His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, it's reasonable for someone to die for a good man. But we aren't that.
Amen.
The amazing part of it is not that God just died. So he died for the worst of mankind. Let's sing Because He Lives this morning. Sing it out now. We have victory.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel feel the bride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know. Because he lives,
sing it out on the last verse.
And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death,
hallelujah,
gives way to I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know.
One more time.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Good seeing you, church. You may be seated.
See the dawn of the day.
the cross. Now the daylight fleets, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. The curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finish the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. One through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost we stand forgiven at the cross.
Matthew chapter 21, verses 15 through 16. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of God," they were sore displeased and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected my praise? I have five children, and I love that my children love God. But you are also his children, and God loves it when his children love him. No greater joy can be given to a Christian parent than that their children love God. All parents want their children to love them. Godly parents want their children to love God. I love God. Do you love God? Do you love Christ? Then if you love Christ, don't be ashamed of that love. There can be no greater pain than a child who refuses to love their parents. And what a dishonor when a child is ashamed to love their parents. Do not be ashamed of your love for God. Find glory in the glory of God. Do not hide your love for God. Shout it from the rooftops, your love for God. Do not live your love for God on Sunday alone. Live your love for God every day of the week. Do you love Christ? Then let's cry out our love for our Savior.
Sweet the sound that saved.
out now.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Lord,
the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Palm Sunday. Often forgotten in the time around Easter, and it's not really considered a celebration, a celebratory holiday, but let me tell you, Palm Sunday for Christians truly is. I hope and pray that today's worship service cause you to realign your life, cause you to refocus and to remember who Christ is, what He did for you. Of course, next week we're going to focus in purely the ascension of Christ. Yes, we'll deal a little bit with His death, but mostly it's the ascension. By the time we come the next Sunday, He's already rose. We're not going to talk about His death. He's alive again. Next Sunday, we're talking about His resurrection. Now, I know that a lot of churches doing a lot of things. Next Sunday is going to be very similar to what you saw today. Time of worship, time of reflection, time of focus. There'll be a couple of things that will be a little different today than next Sunday than this Sunday. For one, we'll have the Lord's Supper. And if you can join us, we have the individual cups, individual bread, prepackaged. We're not handling it. No one sneezed on it or coughed on it. It's sealed. In a factory setting, and you'll unseal it and be able to partake of the Lord's Supper with us next Sunday. Like today, the message and the music will again be married together. The Lord's Supper will also be combined throughout the service, not just right at the end. But next Sunday, folks, I put on Facebook, there's no gimmicks next Sunday. You know, I'm not going to be dressed up, anything crazy. We're not going to have someone outside handing out Easter eggs to people. Next Sunday, no gimmicks, it's just Christ. Next Sunday, we're going to be worshiping Christ. Next Sunday, we're going to be remembering Christ. Now, that is not to say that, you know, celebrating with your kids and having an Easter egg hunt doesn't have its place. It just doesn't have its place in the worship service. In the worship service, we worship Christ. So I hope you can join us next Sunday for that time of worship. I will hope that you can be here. I will love to see your faces again. Invite your friends, invite your family to worship our Savior, to worship our King, to worship our warrior, to worship our God. A resurrected Jesus Christ. Can you stand with me for our closing prayer? Tonight, I'll be joining Joseph. We'll have our men's discussion, Forge Men on Depression. Joseph, an important topic. Probably won't finish it tonight. There is no Forge meetings next Sunday night because of Easter Sunday, so we'll continue that topic as we return the Sunday after Easter. And then this Friday and Saturday, if you'd like to be a part of our outreach to our community, and really it's just an outreach of love. Yes, our Easter baskets that we're making, they will have the gospel and a short letter from the church telling them that they're loved, God loves them. But it's an Easter basket. It needs to be put together. There's at least 100 of them. We might have more than 100. I might have to cap it pretty soon because they just keep coming in. Over 100 Easter baskets easily on Friday putting together. Many hands make light work. If you'd like to be here, 6:30, text me, let me know. We'll have everything you need. Just bring yourself and eat before you get here. We won't have food. So unless you plan on eating the candy that you're packing in the baskets. Bring yourself. We'll pack those. And then Saturday morning, starting at 9, you let me know if you want to help deliver the baskets. It can be any time during the day as long as you tell me what time you're here. We'll have the baskets and the delivery address is ready for you. Come pick them up. Someone will meet you at the church. You pick them up, just deliver them, and you're done. So again, if you could help deliver dozens and dozens of baskets to be delivered, the more people that can deliver, the better. That's this Friday and Saturday. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you for the chance to be one of them. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you today and have Teen Challenge with us to be reminded that you are on the move. You are changing lives. You are bringing people out of addictions and not just saving their souls, but saving their life on this earth, giving them a new life now. And I pray that we would bring that promise of an eternal life and a new life today to this community. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, folks. I love you.